Welcome, everybody, to Learn Biz, the growth small business podcast, here with Ethan Migliori and Ryan Murray. So we're looking at an article by Impact Utah. If you haven't done anything with Impact Utah, I mean, if you're out of the state of Utah, you probably haven't done anything with them, but a fabulous organization. I've had the privilege of doing some live trainings with them, and they're one of the organizations that I go to when I want to do trainings, which I think to them should be a compliment, because I'm very selective where I do trainings myself. I'm very selective of who I'm going to go to for trainings. And I find myself coming back to them for multiple trainings, just because the quality that they put out is excellent.
A great team.
They do. Yeah.
That's one of their strong points, is they just have a great team as well.
Yeah.
So great people to work with.
So you actually came across a recent article that they put out on manufacturing efficiencies or inefficiencies, as they kind of point out in the article.
Yeah.
And I want to point out to our listeners, if you're not in manufacturing, there's still a lot in management and just overall business process. A lot of times people think that because they don't do manufacturing, that it doesn't matter. But the reality is manufacturing process is the same thing as people management. It's the same thing as getting your service to or product or service to the customer in a timely manner.
But Impact did a great thing, because there was such a focus on manufacturing, and most states have a manufacturing extension partnership, because there's some federal fundings that go with it. So you might know it as a different name in your state. But what I really like is on like their lean manufacturing that was focused for manufacturing, but they said, wait a minute, just like you pointed out that, hey, a lot more businesses need this one. And so when they did the office lean manufacturing, it changed a lot of things for a lot of people, because just thinking about the processes of, if I have a photocopy machine in another room and I do 20 copies a day, how much time do I lose in efficiencies, by trudging down the hall to the copy room?
Well, and I'll tell you, what was it? About last year, maybe around this time last year, I took a team of R&D and sales and marketing that I took them to one of their trainings. And again, you're looking at manufacturing. This was a live in-person training. And I remember the sales marketing team coming up to me afterward and saying, wow, we're so grateful that we did that because we didn't think we were going to get anything out of it. What do they know about sales? But then understanding the whole process, and I think that's really where they're strong, is understanding that every decision that is made impacts other pieces of the company.
Correct.
And so when you've got these silos that are starting to build, people that are kind of going off doing their own thing, not recognizing the impact that they're having on other aspects of the company. And that really was an eye opener, good information. So without further ado, let's kind of get into the report. You've got a few notes there for us.
The article, and it was written by Summer Sorensen Bain.
Okay.
So give the credit where credit's due. But I like, so they did a survey of Utah businesses trying to understand the weaknesses that they were finding in the manufacturing industry as they're trying to strengthen that industry in the state of Utah. And what they brought it down to was three things, and that was there was a weakness in strategy, a weakness in processes, and then, of course, a weakness in time accountability.
Okay.
And so then they, in that article, then they start focusing on those three topics to kind of say, all right, this is what we found. These are some of the results that came from it, and here's some areas to look at to help you become more efficient in those areas. And so when you look at strategy being that first one, which I think was the right thing to do, because strategy sets the stage for everything else, right? If you don't get that right, everything else is going to struggle as you go down through that. But they were saying about 29% of companies lack that strategic vision.
And can I pull away?
Let me rephrase that. Only 29% of the companies, and they use the word optimized, were optimized in strategy.
Okay. So yeah, that good clarification correction there. But I also want to point out strategy has become one of those cliche buzz terms that everyone's, yes. Oh, we have to be strategic. We have to have strategy. And I really want to bring it back to the idea of everyone moving in sync, working together. We use a lot of sports analogies when we talk business because they tend to line up really well. Yeah. And if you look at strategy, if I've got a soccer team, strategy is the combination of each person knowing their position, knowing how those positions interact, and working together to try and score goals. And so a lot of times people turn strategy into these buzz terms. I've sat through so many strategic planning where you walk out of there and you've got these really MBA sounding vision statements that have nothing to do. Go back to the basics. What is that soccer team trying to do? Know your position, know how your position interacts with the other players, and everyone's trying to score goals.
Well, and that's the two main points that I liked that they brought out of that I thought, all right, that's dead on that with companies that I've worked with. And that is that departments inside of the organizations generally have misaligned goals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can use an example here in a minute. And then communication. Mm-hmm. Those two things cause so many problems in it. So the misalignment would be like the marketing outselling stuff and then not communicating and or not having the same goals as production.
Yeah.
Right?
And you'll see this happen a lot. So, you know, continuing with this idea, if marketing and sales is out pushing a product that it's difficult for production to produce, yeah, or they don't have efficiencies in it, costs are going up, whatever the case may be, if they're out pushing the wrong product, then you can have sales going up, but it's driving costs up. So you might have profits that are getting pushed down.
Right.
And sometimes this is hard to see because you can have a situation where it's the shifting gears. So it's not that direct costs are going up, but every time the production line has to shut down because they've got to support this sales initiative. And right. So they're shutting down. So it's that cleanup time and then the ramp up for the new production and then the cleanup time and then the ramp up and, you know, those types of inefficiencies. And I really liked in the report, and I don't know if you're going to get into some specifics here, but I liked where it talked about different inefficiencies that it hit.
Yeah, I think we had to cover that because there's a section where they talk about that one and it was dead on. But ultimately, I just like the idea that before you do anything else, if you really want to focus on stuff, make sure that the strategy is clear and across the company board, the strategy is understood and recognized.
So you're saying, according to the study, that less than a third of companies had a clear strategy.
Well, they use the word optimized.
Okay.
And so I'm going to be careful with that. And I want to be careful because now everyone's going to be freaking out. Oh, are we that bad or whatever else? Ultimately, what it's saying is that optimized to me is you're not running at your peak performance.
Okay.
Right? That's okay. How I view that. That I might be running at 70%, but do I have room for improvement? Yes. On the other hand, you could be running at 30% capacity, which is a huge problem. We've seen it. You and I know that. But ultimately, I think on the strategy piece and the piece I'd really push out there is, look, assume at some level there's improvement to be had. And that's one of Impact's real focuses that they do is they push continuous improvement, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, that's probably one of their cliches that they pitch. And so I appreciate that because that's one model that you and I kind of look at as well as, you know, a little bit of improvement here and there adds up as time goes on.
Yeah. Okay. So the other piece was communication.
Yes.
And what did we learn from the study on communication? Everyone knows that communication is key. There's the, everyone says in war, what does the enemy first try and take out? Your communication.
Right.
But let's get a little specific. What does the study actually say about communication that it really impacts businesses?
Well, ultimately, when you get into a lack of communication and then all of a sudden everything else starts to snowball, it kills morale. right? That's one of the key things as they come back, is that it kills morale. Because I told you, well, I didn't see it. Well, did you really send it? Now, see, now we have this internal dogfight.
Yeah.
Right? Or, well, you weren't really clear in what you meant. So I think the main point on that one is you got to be careful with that, because it just starts to hurt morale. And when morale goes down, there's 1,000 studies that show when morale is low in an organization, you're just not competitive. You know, it affects so many other things, and the efficiencies go down significantly. You know, the great example is if you know of anyone who suffers from depression at any level, mm-hmm. when that depression hits and their morale goes down, what does their productivity do?
It tanks. Absolutely tanks, yeah.
Right. And so until you can make the right adjustments in that mental health, you can't, the other things, it doesn't matter.
So I want to hit on something. My wife, she's a personal trainer, and we're always talking about what motivates people to actually achieve their goals. And a lot of people hire a personal trainer for weight loss. And the interesting thing, so you said when communication is poor, morale goes down. I love finding cause and effect relationships. So tying this back into the weight loss, I know so many people that tell me, oh yeah, I've got this great weight loss diet or weight loss program. And at the end of the day, you can measure if you're achieving your goals.
Right.
And now, the funny thing about weight loss is it's not linear. It doesn't just drop. In fact, most people who start getting healthy actually gain a little bit of weight before they start to lose it, and that's very discouraging to them. And the other thing to understand is muscle weighs more than fat, yes. And so people yes. start to get more fit, and they actually can put on weight.
Yeah.
And so it's not just straight cut and dry, like we all black and white that we want to have. Well, the same thing with communication. I think I sent that email, therefore I clearly communicated. If morale is low, you didn't clearly communicate. And I love yes. that cause and effect, where as a manager, think to yourself, ask yourself, what is the morale in my organization, in my department? And if it's struggling or moving in the negative direction or any of these signs that show that it's poor, you can go back and say, what do I need to do to improve my communication?
Yeah.
You can draw that link.
And here's just a simple thing that if you'll kind of just remember this one, that frustration comes from unmet expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Unmet expectations come from a lack of communication.
Yeah,
I've shared that a few times in other podcasts. I heard that saying or made it up. I don't know. It's been so long. I don't know which one it is. But anytime I get into a situation, it answers so many questions for me. Ah, I'm frustrated. Okay, that means someone didn't achieve something that I thought they were going to. Okay, that means I wasn't clear enough.
Yeah.
Right? And then it just allows me to go back to the drawing board, allows me to take some personal ownership, allows me to then fix it in a healthy way versus an aggressive or an incorrect way.
Yeah, excellent. All right, let's keep going with the study.
Okay. So the next one was processes.
Okay.
And they also use the word methods.
Okay.
When they get into that one. So this is all about how they now are producing the product in any ways. So in processes, only 29% of companies were optimized.
Interesting that that's basically the same number that had strategy.
Strategy was 22. This one's 29, both really low.
Okay.
But when they got into the processes, then they started looking at the efficiencies that were lost or inefficiencies that led to lost profits.
Now, I need to pause for just a second because I think I misstated some of those numbers. You're telling me that on strategy it was 22%?
Yeah, 22.6. And I'm rounding. Okay. I'm rounding.
So I put in that it was a third. It's really closer to a quarter.
Yeah.
So people are doing slightly better on process than they're doing on strategy, but it's still really low.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's... Ultimately, they just said, hey, look, of all the businesses, and I think in the beginning, there was thousands of businesses that they had been surveying over the course of this period. So the numbers are probably more accurate where they have a higher number of businesses, that number of businesses being fully effective and their processes is low. So, and what it comes down to is, if the strategy isn't clear and we get into our processes, then all of a sudden we end up with a little bit more waste.
Okay.
If we're producing something and we get more waste, that waste, then we can't turn into profit.
Now, can we extrapolate here and say, because this is talking about a manufacturing process, but if we have just a, sale to customer process, do you believe that the numbers would be about the same?
I don't know. One of the points that they bring up is customer satisfaction, though.
Okay.
So they isolate that out as one of the areas. I think they picked out three areas. So production was one of them, profitability was one, and then the other one was poor customer satisfaction.
Okay.
So those are, in that process, those were the three that they had highlighted that then are areas that when that number gets lower, those are the signs that start showing up that you have problems in that area.
Okay.
So I would have to say yes, because otherwise they wouldn't have brought up customer satisfaction, meaning my delay times are going out longer. My quality control has gone down. So my clients are getting product that's inferior to what they expect. I mean, you can see why it would, if my processes are not real clean and the product goes out as not my best product, why my customer satisfaction would go down. It's intuitive, I would think.
Okay. So we know there's at least a correlation.
Yes.
This 29% is specific to manufacturing companies in the state of Utah. However, all businesses dealing with process, we know that it's going to be similar. And so it might not be those exact data point numbers.
But Utah has a pretty robust manufacturing community. So I have to believe that you could go to any other state and it would be in the ballpark.
I would think so. I would think that that's a safe assessment to make. So what do we do to improve these processes?
Well,
you're like, nothing. There's no hope. If you're part of the 70%.
Well, when it comes down to it, of course, the first thing is and you go back, you got to go back to strategy, okay, is marketing and production on the same page, right?
Okay.
So that we're not...
And that could be accounting and production on the same page. Right. That could be legal and management on the same page.
Because if we're producing something that has been sold and then we think we're done producing it and we shift gears and then we have to revamp to produce five more,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Okay. We've lost our economies of scale.
Correct. And then all of a sudden...
Anyone who thinks that economies of scale is a manufacturing thing, oh, no. Mm-mm. No. If you are a service-based business, I'm now a YouTube creator, and that is my business.
Yeah.
There are economies of scale with how quickly you can produce that content, how quickly you can edit that content. So economies of scale, it doesn't matter whether you're manufacturing or not.
Along with bottlenecks, you can bring up so many terms when it comes to if your processes are starting to break down or you just haven't really fine tuned them, because even bottlenecking now that if I have, a department or an employee who's waiting for someone else and now they're just sitting there twiddling their thumbs,
yeah,
that's someone I'm paying for who's not, being effective. You know, there's one of our local manufacturers that, I know why he says it, even though I kind of cringe a little bit when he says it, I just want to see elbows and butts, right? That means that they're in there grinding away, getting their work done, right? But when he says it, I kind of cringe because it makes it feel like, hey, I'm over here cracking a whip, right?
Right.
But I know the intent is not that, but that's what, manufacturers are looking for, that if I see someone twiddling their thumb, that means somewhere we have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So.
All right. So.
Last one.
Yeah. Number three here.
Time accountability.
So we already kind of led into this a little bit with your random elbows and butts comment.
So this one from the survey that they did, 36.5% of companies were now optimized.
Okay.
So the numbers are getting better for doing that one. But ultimately what it came down to, and this is kind of the first part of our conversation, is that a lot of times there's not clear expectations, mm-hmm. meaning what is clearly expected for, and I'm going to use an assembly line as an example, what is clearly expected of each individual on assembly line for production during the day, quality control measures, et cetera, et cetera. So when you don't have clear expectations, then all of a sudden they're just doing whatever they think is best, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's like, you know, being a parent with a kid, if you give your kid some latitude and they just do what they think is best, are you really going to get what you think is best?
Yeah.
You rarely do. I shouldn't say never. You rarely do.
Well, and a lot of times, and this is speaking from my personal experience of the businesses that I've worked with and tried to help coach them into getting into a better state, they go in spurts, and the successful businesses, so everyone's going to go in spurts. There's times yes. where you're motivated. There's times where you're not motivated. There's times where everything seems to be just fighting against you, and you're just trying to just hold the line and not give up ground. And so as things are moving in spurts, the successful businesses that I've worked with are the ones that they're always taking the steps forward. They're taking the baby steps. They're taking the giant leaps. They take whatever step they can forward. But that's more the exception, not the rule. What happens is people get really excited. Think New Year's resolutions. How many people set a New Year's resolution? How many people stick with that New Year's resolution?
Right.
And we do this, whether it's January 1st or whether it's just a new quarter in my business or I just went to a training seminar and now I'm motivated, the majority of people are going to lose that motivation very quickly. And so if I'm looking at time accountability, I want to say, what are the small steps? This is the Kaizen principle. If you guys are familiar with the Kaizen principle of just small continuous improvement, Kaizen is Japanese, and I'm probably even pronouncing it wrong, but it's Japanese for something that means small continuous improvement. But the idea is to say, if I'm trying to do time accountability, I can come in and I can crack the whip and I can get after everyone and say, why are you wasting time? Okay, no more social media work. I only want to see butts and elbows, as you put it. If you don't have anything to do, grab a broom and start sweeping. That's really bad management.
Right.
The better management is to say, okay, you, with your time, where is your time most effectively spent? Where are the, you know, where's the downtime that shouldn't be there? And kind of just improving things a little at a time, finding the pain points.
Well, and I like the principle, you know, we've all heard the 80-20 rule.
Sure.
Which ultimately, in a business term, it means that about 20% of our efforts are going to produce 80% of our real results.
Correct.
So when you know that, then we need to, your employees need to know what that 20% that is highly important for them to be accomplishment. And then those are the things that we want to have performance measures, which is one of the points that they brought out, that companies a lot of times lack performance measures. So if the companies know what that 20% is that's highly important, because now at the very least, if anything else happens during that day, we know that our success rate is still going to be 80%,
mm-hmm.
right? So we've got to get that piece right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's excellent. So let's jump back to the study. We kind of pulled off a little bit there.
So
but
study performance measurements,
okay.
So which we tied into. And then the last piece that they kind of go back into is feedback, you know, feedback systems. And I know that you're not a huge, well, I don't want to say that you're not a huge fan of feedback, but feedback inside of companies is done so poorly.
And you made me sound terrible right then.
Well, we have side conversations all the time.
You're egotistical enough that you don't want anyone to give you any feedback because you have all the answers.
No. All right. I'm going to clarify. Most companies who say, hey, I put this feedback box out here on my desk, right?
Yeah.
And I want you to give us feedback as you're doing stuff. It just never is effective.
Yeah.
Okay. So even though they bring that up, I want to bring up that if you are going to do something like that one, you need to look at it from two angles, because you have inside of a manufacturing, I think we get so focused a lot of times on the assembly line piece of it, but we have this whole division that's focused on personnel and professionals, right? As we term them. So if you're going to do it, we need to have places where we can have quality control and measurements so that the feedback is both from the professional side and then the assembly line side.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so just to kind of reiterate on that, since you're hanging out there, like, does that make, like, are you following me here?
I'm trying to think of the right words, and sometimes my brain goes too fast, and then
Well, to me, it's the management and then the production. And when I say production, I want to go broader than a typical production. I'm talking anyone that produces anything in the company. So it's really interesting. Managers rarely produce anything that makes money. But what they are supposed to be doing is they're supposed to be optimizing the process. And so if I've got a retail store and I have a manager who's looking at the financial statements, they're not the ones out there selling retail goods, but they're the ones out there looking for patterns. They're the ones out there providing training. They're the ones looking for theft control. And they're trying to eliminate the bad and emphasize the good. And that's what a manager is going to be doing. And so when you're looking at that and saying, okay, how do we focus on that? It's important to understand in business, in the company that you're in, do you produce anything or do you manage? And sometimes there's some crossover, but most of the time there's not. Most of the time you are either, and even if there is crossover, you're going to tend to do one or the other. I see a lot of solo entrepreneurs who they get so stuck in the business, they're producing because they have to, that they're not managing. They're not taking the time to do the financial statements and different things like that. So I don't know if that helped kind of clarify.
No, and that does. And so I appreciate that. So that's, you know, and there's some other, you know, there's more in that article than we can really cover. So I encourage anyone to go dig up the article.
We'll put the link in the description.
Smart. See, I'm just like, go do it yourself.
go find, like, do a Google search and...
Yeah, we'll put the link. We'll put the link in there. Oh, my goodness. One of those days. So,
I hope you guys enjoyed this, trying to dig into some of the data. We've talked a lot on this show about the importance of data, the importance of research. And so we're going to do a better job ourselves of digging into the numbers and seeing what is out there, learning from what other people already know. So if you want to check out that full report, we'll link it in the description. And look forward to future reports.
Yeah, well, and use it to reevaluate maybe where you have some weaknesses as well. That's the whole purpose of why I like the article, is anything that makes me rethink and reanalyze is good, because I always find some area I can do better.
Excellent. All right. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoy the show, be sure to subscribe, share it with your friends. We'd love to get the word out there. This is LearnBiz, the growth podcast with Ryan and Ethan.
Thanks, everybody.